So our next speaker is Catriona Paul, who's going to talk to us about aging and altered gene expression.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to continue on in the stem cell arena, although I don't have such pretty pictures. But I'll move perspective a little onto aging. Sorry. So it seems more and more that we're living in an aging population. And within the next 2 years, in North America, the number of people that are over the age of 65 will actually outnumber those that are under 15 years old. And as a result of this, more and more people are choosing to have children later and later in life. If you look at this graph here, this is the birth rate in the States from 1980 to 2005. And you can see in the 20 to 24 age group, there's a reduction in the number of men. Kind of awkward. Okay. So there's a reduction in the number of men having children in the age group of 20 to 24, but in the age group of 35 to 39, there's an increase of approximately the same amount. Now this is causing some concerns because we know that there may be a risk of an increase in genetic diseases in the offspring of older fathers. And these include single gene diseases such as Marfan syndrome, Apert syndrome, and achondroplasia. And there's been more and more studies looking at multi-gene diseases such as autism, Alzheimer's, and also schizophrenia. And a number of other diseases have been associated with aging, such as bipolar disorder, and also an increase in breast cancer in the daughters of older fathers. But what we don't know is where all of this begins. So one of the crudest ways we can look at the germ cells of the older fathers is in the ploidy of the sperm. So you can see here, there is an increase in diploidy with age in the sperm, an increase in aneuploidy also with age. And if we take a step further into to look at the chromatin, using the sperm chromatin structure assay, which basically tells you the percentage of sperm which exhibit DNA damage, you can see that there is an increase with age in the percentage of sperm with DNA damage. And one very recent study, which was a large population study in Iceland, showed that not only that there was an increase in, there was more mutations passed on from the father to the offspring than the mother to the offspring, but also that the rate of paternal de novo mutations was estimated to increase by approximately 4% per year. And this is quite striking because it corresponds to a doubling every 16 years. So what do we know about fertility and aging? So we know that in the testis, there is an imbalance of antioxidant and reactive oxygen species. We know there is changes in chromosome quality in the sperm. We know that there is changes in sperm motility and morphology. We know there is a decrease in pregnancy rate and an increase in time to pregnancy. And we also know that there's an increase in genetic diseases in the offspring of older fathers. So it seems that delaying fatherhood lowers the likelihood of having a successful pregnancy, which would be free of early pregnancy loss and free of genetic defects. So where is all this coming from? Well, we know that the germ cells are replenished by continual division of the spermatogonial stem cells. And in our lab, we use the rat model. And we know in the rat model that with age, you lose the germ cells over time. So if you look at this graph here, you see that at 4 months old in the rat, you have a full complement of germ cells. At 18 months, you have it's the onset of germ cell loss. And by 24 months, you have almost complete regression of the testes. So the three important ages for my study are 4 months, 18 months, and 21 months, which is just in between the onset of deterioration and the testicular regression. So our hypothesis was that with the continual division of the spermatogonial stem cells that is necessary to maintain the germ cell population, that these deteriorate over time. And I aim to look at this by doing some functional studies and also molecular studies. So to test the stem cells, we had the advantage of having the Sprague-Dawley rats, which were specific for GFP protein in their germ cells only. And I used the three different age groups, which I mentioned just before. So from these rats, we took the GFP testes, subjected them to trypsin and collagenase digestion so that we get a single cell suspension, and take this germ cell suspension and inject it into the bundle of the efferent duct of nude mice, which had been pre-treated with busulfan, which gets rid of endogenous spermatogenesis. We then leave these for 3 months and harvest these testes and look at the GFP-positive colonies. So we count the number of colonies, which would be a measure of the quantity of spermatogonial stem cells, and we measure the length of the colonies, which is a determination of the quality of the stem cells, their ability to differentiate. So as a first port of call, I just looked to see if there was any change in the number of cells that we got from the donor testes, so from the rats, and we see that there's no change over the different age groups. In addition, I looked to see if there was any alteration in the ratio of mouse testes that exhibited colonies, and again, there was no change. However, when we took a step closer to look at the actual number of colonies, and extrapolated it back to get the number of stem cells, you see that there's a marked decrease at 18 months and 21 months. It's approximately 50% of the young 4-month-old. So you can see this visually here. The top three panels here are like a full testis view. So you can already see that there are more colonies in the young than in the aged. And then when you look at these pictures here, this is where the colonies have been dissected out. And you can see that the length of the colonies in the young are much longer, or they're nice and long. But in the 18-month-old group, they're still pretty long. And in 21-month-old group, there was a big variety of lengths. We saw some quite nice long colonies, also some medium-length colonies, and some very, very short colonies. And one other thing that we noticed was that it seemed that the GFP was less bright, which may be telling us that there are less GFP-positive cells, so maybe the differentiation is not happening as well in the older, the 21-month-old stem cells. When we look at this quantitatively by measuring the colonies, you can see that although we had a reduction in the number of stem cells at 18 months, we don't see a reduction in their quality, so in their length. But at 21 month old, we do see a significant decrease in their length, which tells us that there is a decrease in their ability to differentiate. So my next step was to try and work out at the molecular level what was happening to cause these changes. So my task was to isolate the spermatogonial stem cells, and I tried this using a number of different established mouse markers, including EpCAM, ecadherin, and Thi1, but none of these seemed to work in my hands. However, when I tried CD9, it seemed to work. It gave me a nice, distinct population of CD9-positive cells, and also we had the advantage of having GFP in our germ cells, so we could get rid of all of the somatic cells. So to test that we had a good population of, or at least an enriched population of spermatogonial stem cells, we had to do transplants again. and we transplanted either the unsorted mixed germ cells, which is what we transplanted before, or the CD9 positive sorted cells. And what we saw was a huge increase in the number of colonies that we observed in the CD9 sorted. So it seemed that we did have at least an enriched population of spermatogonial stem cells. So with this population, to try and determine the molecular changes, I isolated the RNA, carried out an Agilent microarray, and analyzed this with GeneSpring 12. And I did this in the aged and the young. And the young here were 21 months old. So my first observation was just to see that some of the standard spermatogonial stem cell genes were expressed in my enriched population. So we saw that they were positive for SOX2, CD9 obviously, GFR-alpha, RET, ID4, PLZF, and MCAM. And they were negative for c-kit, which is known to be on a later stage. Negative for WT1, which is a Sertoli cell marker, so that's good. But they were also negative for Thi1, which is known to be in the spermatogonial stem cells in the mouse, which was quite surprising. And luckily, there was no change in the CD9 expression in the aged and the young. So for the genes that were changed in the microarray, we saw quite a large amount. There were more than 500 genes that were downregulated by at least twofold, and 63 were upregulated by at least twofold. And of these, a number of interesting pathways popped up. So the upregulated genes included those involved in DNA damage recognition and repair. So we had MSH4 and MSH5, which are involved in the mismatch repair pathway, and also DMC1, RACA1, MDC1, which are involved in the recognition and repair of double-strand breaks. And we also saw a number of genes that were involved in mitosis and stem cell differentiation, including GFR-alpha and some of the WNTs, ecadherin, EGFR. So in conclusion, it seems that the stem cells are changing at the molecular level, which could be the source of the effects that we see in the changes of their number and quality with age. And a number of key, very important pathways are altered, DNA damage and mitosis and stem cell development. So the DNA damage increase may correspond to the increase in DNA damage that we see later on in the sperm. And all of this may be one of the underlying causes that we see in the reduced reproductive outcome with older age. So I'll just finish by thanking my supervisors, Bernard and Makoto, and everyone else in the lab. Thank you.
That was a really great presentation. I think I'm going to ask you a question I've asked you before, which is when you sort the CD9 positive, GFP positive cells, a very small fraction of those are actually stem cells by the numbers that you showed there. So when you do a gene expression profile, how do you know that those changes that you're seeing are reflective of changes in that small number of stem cells, and you're not just measuring changes in the other cells that you've co-purified that are more abundant?
Okay, so the percentage that I purified is approximately 1.5 to 2% of the entire population that I put through the fax machine. And in the mouse, it's thought that the stem cells represent around 0.3%, 0.03%. But we don't know in the rat what that percentage is. In the human, it's much higher. So in the rat, it might be somewhere in between. So I don't know the percentage. It could be diluted out by other cells. However, they do express the stem cell markers, and some of them at quite a high level. Mm-hmm. So I can't answer that question at the moment.
Okay, I understand. Thanks.
I have a question regarding this list of DNA damage response pathway. One observation that these are all genes that are upregulated during the Paketin stage of, not Paketin, prophase one of meiosis. So some of the germ cells should have them anyway. So could it be that this enrichment actually shows some kind of shift in the proportions of cells at different stages?
You mean that in the aged, I could be isolating more Paketin spermatocytes than...
Not necessarily Paketin, leptotin. Well, it's just that the spermatogenesis is delayed a little bit. Or, well, I don't know. It's just a note that this, all the list of markers that you showed and the DNA damage response, they are typical of DNA recombination.
Well, I know for the mismatch repair pathway, these are expressed in spermatogonia. For the other ones, they could be expressed, but they're upregulated in the age compared to the young. And I'm not sure how... If I was to have more prophase cells, it would mean that the age were going faster than the young. I'll look at it.